Well, good morning to everyone. Glad to see everybody survived the blizzard of 2017. Having worked for the National Weather Service about 30 years ago, I feel empathy with them. It's a tough call. The meteorologist that I worked with 30 years ago hated to use that S word, snow. They just, not without cause, they were very cautious about using it. But when public safety is in the balance, you always want to err on the side of good judgment, and can understand why the media always loves to play that up. So I hope you all enjoyed the snow we had or didn't have. As is our custom, your five elders like to address the congregation once a year. There's four of us up here this morning. Jim Russell is seated. We do appreciate the love and respect that you show us. We love and honor you guys as well. Part of the area that Jim Russell and I have is budget, and nobody likes to talk about money, so we'll get that out of the way first. It's sad to say that we only met our budget 11 times last year, but that doesn't mean that we didn't do a lot of good. We still have $1 million budget, which is extremely fortunate for us, and we thank you for your generosity. So far in January, we've met our budget twice, which is nice. Making a budget is difficult. Sometimes there's just not enough money to go around to do all the works that need to be done. And difficult choices are made. Some programs are cut, some are added, some are reduced, and some are increased. So please bear with us. If something that you feel like we're not doing, please bring it to our attention. But at the same time, please make sure that you know that we're trying to do the best job that we can with what we've got to work with. With that said, we're going to leave our budget for the 2017 at the same amount that we've done this past year, $20,100. We hope that we'll be able to meet that a little bit better this year. Hopefully the economy will pick up. Hopefully we'll have tender hearts and understand that there is a need. That's enough about that. I had the opportunity to go to the World War II Museum in New Orleans last weekend. If you haven't been, I would highly recommend it. I think every young person needs to go to it and see the sacrifices that were made during the World War II. The galleries that they put together were very well done. What impressed me were the videos that they recorded of World War II veterans. And I was watching one of them, and the commentator asked the older gentleman, "Do you feel like a hero?" And he said, "No." He said, "We survived." He said, "We were average Joes just doing what needed to be done." Acts of heroism, bravery, and unselfishness by going outside the wire. They were a bunch of average Joes doing what needed to be done. Outside the wire. This is a phrase that war has produced that you hear almost every day in the news. Even if you haven't served in the military, you instinctively know what that means. It means outside the relative safety of the camp, outside the perimeter of the walls, the sandbags, and the barbed wire. The moment you cross that barrier, you know it. You feel it. You feel the danger. You feel the uncertainty of being out there in another world, moving toward something that you have no idea what you're getting yourself into, good or bad. Stepping outside the wire also brings a sense of purpose and accomplishment. Knowing that you're there to make a difference. Knowing that to your left and to your right are others who stand with you in focus and mission. You see, outside the wire isn't only dangerous. It's also the only place that everlasting good can accomplish. If there's ever going to be any change in our community, in our country, if violence and lawlessness are ever going to be confronted, if peace is ever going to bloom in that rocky soil, someone Someone has to go outside the wire. It's outside the wire where enemies are met, where an old world gets to hear about a new one, where relationships are formed and people are offered a new way of life. Should come as no surprise that Jesus lived outside the wire. He accomplished his greatest work for humanity outside the wire. He spent most of his ministry outside the wire. He traveled across seas to set free demon-possessed individuals. He crossed into forbidden lands to reach the Samaritans. He went to lepers despite them saying, "Unclean, unclean." He dined with tax collectors and sinners. He encouraged people through everyday encounters rather than in the synagogue or in the temple. He fed the hungry. He met their everyday needs. And he enjoyed the fellowship of others. Jesus lived outside the wire. And he commissioned us to be there with him by telling us to go into all the world. Our challenge this year is, what would happen if in 2017 we spent more time being the church to those around us than talking about it in here? Like those average Joes I mentioned earlier, if we claim to be soldiers of Christ that we've sung about this morning, we've got to go outside the wire and do what needs to be done. Thank you.
Let me begin by saying what an honor and privilege it's been for me to serve as an elder for this wonderful congregation for the last 16 years and serve with my brothers Bob, Bill, Jim, and Dean. One of the things we want to focus on this year is making our worship services a time of more meaningful and intentional and conducive to worship in spirit and truth. And we've already made some adjustments in this area. We wanted to give more attention to the reading of God's word, and we've done that by separating the scripture reading from the prayer and asking everybody to stand in reverence to the reading of that word. We also began to use a variety of speakers at our worship services. Here are a couple things we'd like to start immediately. We've asked our preachers to turn in their sermon topics and scripture reading early in the week to the church office so they can be posted in the church bulletin in order for those who read scripture can have time to prepare, and also it'll give us time to read those texts to help prepare our minds for worship. And also it'll help the song leaders be able to pick some songs that might be able to go along with the theme of that particular sermon. Something else that we'll start next week is something that's done in a lot of congregations. We're asking that those participating in our Sunday morning worship, whether it's the preacher, song leader, scripture reader, prayer leader, everyone serving the Lord's Supper, to meet in the lobby behind me and inside the office that we affectionately call Curly's office at 9:55. We've asked Derek Wilson, who's leading our singing this morning, to help lead and facilitate this. The purpose of this is to be more organized and to spend some time in prayer before our worship service, in regards to our worship service and for those who are participating in that worship service. I know this will take some getting used to do this, just like standing for the scripture reading has taken some time for us to get used to. My wife's had to yank me off the pew several times just due to habit. But remember, practice makes habit. A few weeks ago, the elders met with our ministers, and they made a request of us to give them some guidance in the topics that they should preach on throughout this year. A week or so later, we met and to discuss this. And we came to the conclusion, and we all shared a sort of the same passionate desire for their direction in preaching. Bill did a great job this morning of explaining this concept of getting outside the wire. We see so many parallels with the military safe zones in the church. Inside these walls, we can get quite comfortable and routine. One can come to church, attend Bible classes, so we can sharpen our spiritual swords. We can assemble and worship our God, and we can fellowship with our Christian brothers and sisters, have a great day, and then go home until the next time. We believe the Bible implores us to do so much more, to get outside the wire, to take Del Rey to outside of these walls. There's never been a time in my lifetime that there's a greater need for the love of Christ to fix our sick world. You don't have to watch the nightly news very long to realize that our country is turned from God, and that has left a population of many hopeless, confused, sinful, and lost people. There are people out there beyond the wire that have never even heard the name of Jesus. Then there are others who once belonged to Christ, but have since they've lost their faith and have moved outside the wire. Whatever their condition, we should strive to bring them in to the church that Christ built. So many are looking for happiness and contentment in the wrong places. We have a lot of great things here at Del Rey. When we walk on the shoulders of giants, of people that have worshipped here for over 60 years, and they've left us with so much, including a building that is completely paid for. You're some of the finest Christians anywhere. The talent level is astonishing. And the love and unity we share is rare indeed. I'm confident that no other church in the Brotherhood receives the quality of preaching that we receive every single service. We have a tremendous youth and college group. Our entire staff is outstanding. I think our international mission program is second to none. The list of positives could go on and on. While we are obviously not perfect, most Christians around the world can only dream of what we have here. By being so abundantly blessed, we desperately need to share what we have here by getting outside the wire, by getting Del Rey outside the wire, and bring those outside the wire into the light of Jesus Christ so they can also experience what we have, this peace that passes all understanding. There are more ways than one to accomplish our mission. It will most likely not be some trendy program with a catchy name, but rather by each one of us as individuals, young, old, and everyone in between, using our varied talents and skills when we are living outside the wire. Rather than blending into the world when we leave here, we need to be a peculiar people. There should be something different about us. For some, you will reach the lost in conversations with friends. For others, it may be discussions with coworkers. Others, using social media. Others, it would be feeding the hungry or sheltering the homeless. Others, maybe using your financial blessings to bless others. Some will use your pens and phones to be encouragers. Others will visit and sit and care for the sick and elderly. The methods to teach God's word to people are endless. And we have asked our preachers to integrate these thoughts from time to time throughout the year in their messages to inspire us, to encourage us, and to keep it fresh on our minds. Pray for wisdom, pray for courage, that the soldiers of Christ here at Del Rey will arise. We challenge each of you, as we have challenged ourselves, to use our talents, whatever they may be, and let's take Del Rey outside the wire.
I'm glad Tanner Owen is here this morning. You'll find out here in just a moment. Oftentimes when we speak about evangelism, we focus on what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. These aspects are important, and we will talk about that some more today, as we've already done. But first, I would like us to take a moment and consider the why. Why is it important? Do any of you have those children, or one of those children that has always asked, why? Why are we doing this? That reminds me of Tanner Owen. I remember teaching the fifth grade class, and Tanner, you could give him every answer under the sun, and he was going to ask, why? But why? But why? As frustrating as that might have been, did you know that that's exactly the right question most often to ask? When you consider an endeavor, you want people to buy in to what you're doing the most important idea to get across to them is why. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why is sharing the gospel of Jesus important? Well, the biggest reason is because Jesus commands evangelism. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said, came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." We are told that Jesus has all authority. He has authority over heaven, earth, and death. He has the authority. In Ephesians 1 and verse 22, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body." If the authority and explicit command of Jesus Christ, our Creator, will not spur us to teach the lost, then, brethren, I don't know what will. But then I hear that little boy again saying, "But why? Why do we need to do this? Why do we need to go into all the world?" For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things that are done in the body according to what has been done, whether they be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. There's the problem right there. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment. And why is the judgment the problem? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The answer to that problem can be found just a few verses later in chapter 5, verse 21 of 2 Corinthians. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We know the problem. The problem is sin and the judgment. And we know the solution. Christ became sin for us. Now the question is, how do we get that solution to a world that's lost in sin? You know, the answer is the same as it's always been. The power is in the people of God. The power is in the people of God because the power has been given to the people of God through his holy message. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." In that message, family struggles and strifes are put to rest. In that message, addictions are conquered. In that message, racial division and dividing walls are broken down. In that message, the prodigal son can return home. Why are all these things possible? In that message, there's hope. In that message, there's forgiveness. In that message, there is salvation. The power is in the people of God because Jesus has given us that power. It has always been God's plan to use ordinary people. Fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, lawyers, doctors, tent makers, state workers, stay-at-home moms, teachers, computer scientists, farmers, salespeople, pharmacists, nurses, factory workers, all other types of everyday, ordinary people. God uses us to accomplish his will. We're all that he has. We are his plan. We're his vessel that he chooses to share the gospel to a lost and dying world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, the Bible reads, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that its extraordinary power comes from God and not from us. In every way we're troubled, but not crushed, frustrated, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We are always carrying around the death of Jesus in our bodies so that the life of Jesus may be clearly shown in our bodies. While we are alive, we are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake so that the life of Jesus may be clearly shown in our mortal bodies. And so, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Do you find it difficult to live the Christian life? This verse says it's going to be difficult. Persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed, carrying around death. Those things are difficult. Those things are struggles. The Christian life is not the easiest life. The Christian life is not the most popular life, but it is the most rewarding. In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The abundant life is a life of great sacrifice. In fact, in order to truly live the abundant life, we must sacrifice completely our life and take on the life of Jesus. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," Luke 9:23. He also said, "For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it," Matthew 16:25. The Apostle Paul understood this sacrifice. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The life which I now live in the flesh, this clay pot, this jar of clay here, the life which I now live in that flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Paul constantly thought about the cross. He was completely immersed in Jesus. Some people want to make Jesus a part of their lives. That's great, but that's not enough. Some people want Jesus in their life. That's great, but that's not enough either. Jesus must be our life. Nothing else is good enough. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify my Father who is in heaven." How are we going to do that? We need to make opportunities to work together as brothers and sisters. Brother Steve just gave a great list of things right there. When we work together as Christians, we work towards a common goal. These are the times that we really grow in fellowship. When we are using our hands to bless others, that blessing will not go unnoticed. Our food pantry on Wednesdays, where Freddie and Billy give out hundreds of pounds of food per week. This ministry creates an opportunity to serve the community in a very meaningful way, and as it opens the doors for sharing the gospel. What more can we do with this ministry if we had more volunteers? We can come up here at 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and we can work. There's a publication called House to House, Heart to Heart. It's a bi-monthly publication that we will begin to circulate into the areas surrounding Dalreda, predominantly in the 36109 area, zip code. Our hope is this will create more opportunities to meet people in our area. We will be able to use this magazine as a conversation starter when we go out to the people, when we go out to those houses in the 36109 zip code. Next Sunday afternoon, many of us will go out into our neighborhoods to meet people, introduce ourselves to them, pray with them, and talk to them about Jesus. We're not starting a new program. We're just going and we're going to get out there and we're going to do it. If you want to be a part of it, let's be here next Sunday afternoon and we're going to get with it. These are just a couple of ways that we can work together to minister to those who are around us in our immediate community. There's so much more that we can do. As we talked about last week, if we dare to dream it, with God's help and His blessings, then we can do it. Are we interested in growth? I mean, really, are we interested in the church growing here at Dalreda? If we're going to grow, it ain't going to be easy. If we're going to grow, it's going to take hard work. But I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. We know we need to evangelize. Jesus said, go and do it. Why, Jesus? Because the world is lost and dying in sin, and we have been given the cure. Who's going to do it? God's chosen ordinary people are going to do it. We are going to go out in there and do it. How are we going to do it? We're going to meet our neighbors. We're going to talk to our friends. We're going to go and meet the needs of those less fortunate. And we're going to go and visit with the folks in the 36109 area. What are we going to talk about to them? We're going to talk about hope. We're going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about Jesus. Because he is all of those things. If not us, then who? And if not now, then when?
Really, everything has been said. So it's easy for me to just sort of say amen to all of it and to acknowledge people already. And I'm just sorry that Brother Jim is not able to join us because of his physical problems, but there's nothing wrong with his mind. He is very much a part of the eldership and leadership. You know, Doug Smith, there he is over here, Doug Smith. He is now the longest tenured preacher in the history of Dalreda, and I think that's wonderful. And Dalreda has prospered because of him. And, of course, as others that are now assisting, Brother Terry and Brother Melvin and General Scott Lockwood in the back here, have also had a great deal to do in preaching from this pulpit, and we appreciate that. I talk about the deacons here, wonderful, wonderful people, awesome deacons. And the college ministry under Simba and Billy, I mean, what could be better than that? And we appreciate you college students very much. You're not just incidental. You're very much a part of this church. We want you to know that, okay? And our staff, already been talked about, who nobody should be left out, but you in the pews that give the money so that we can do things. And our mission work will continue to thrive and, of course, improve. I'm reading now for just a moment and won't keep you long. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, penned by a man who lived his whole life outside the wire. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who've loved his appearing. Among those also who serve this congregation, and I've got it written down in big print here, is Will Tucker and his good wife. Thank you so much for the things you do. And you'll have things to say about exposure, I'm sure, later. It is a tremendous thing to be a part of this church because this is the church of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? This is the church for which Jesus died and shed his blood. And you are a part of it. I'm a part of it. That is a tremendous thing. So we can be involved in God's own work in this place. And I know that you want to be. And we now, taking from what Brother Melvin said last week, the gates of a new year, all of us are thinking now about, well, the things we can do. And it's exciting to look at 2017 and all of that. And we... Well, I'm sorry I lost my train of thought because I just realized somebody gave me a note here that says, you died last night. It's unexpectedly and suddenly, but you died last night. Naturally, your friends, your family are in a state of shock. It's disbelief, this, and they're all talking about what a great person you were and how you will be sorely missed. And matter of fact, on a table by your favorite chair, they found a notepad. And a notepad on which you had written some of your goals for 2017. You didn't call them resolutions, but just things you wanted to accomplish. And I think it's worth reading what you had put down as your goals for 2017. You said you plan to spend more time studying your Bible and praying in 2017. Like most of us, sometimes you let trivial matters get in the way of spending time with God. So I think it's really commendable that you wanted to do that. But now you can't. Unfortunately, you died last night. So you won't be able to study more and pray more. Really sad. You also said you would look for opportunities to talk to people about their soul, opportunities to be outside the wire. You knew, of course, that most people are not concerned very much. Most people are satisfied. They don't have any questions, and you know that most of the time you were turned down. You didn't find much interest. But you also knew that it wasn't up to you to have results. It was just up to you to speak the words. And you intended to do that, and I think that's just wonderful that you would have done that if you had the opportunity, but now you can't, because you died last night. And those people that you might have been able to influence, you'll not have that opportunity anymore. I also noticed that you plan to be more liberal in your giving in 2017. You realized, like the rest of us, how blessed you are to be in this country. And you realized that, yeah, you are making an effort, and it wasn't that you weren't trying, but really come down to it, you weren't sacrificing very much. And you thought about that. And you knew there were works that could be done, and you'd like to be a part of those works. And that's a tremendous thing to realize that you had all those good intentions, but you died last night. So now you will not be able to, in this world, be liberal with your giving as you really wanted to be. The last thing on your list was you really wanted to show more concern for members who were sick and going through special challenges in their life. You always had a good heart, did a lot of good things. But you realized that the needs sometimes were greater than were being met. So you had those great goals, and isn't it wonderful to have those goals? And it's commendable, but you won't be able to do that because you died last night. Well, I see, actually, I made a mistake here. It wasn't you. It was somebody else who died last night. And if they had those goals and those visions, those dreams, they'll not be able to fulfill them in this world. But since you didn't die last night, you're still here, still very much alive, still able to do those things, to be able to be a part of the things we've talked about today. And God bless you. And I believe that you will. With opportunity and time before us, perhaps we can be outside the wire. But in order to be part of these things, of course, our lives have to be right with God. And if you're in this audience today, and if you've not been baptized for remission of your sins, you need to do that this very hour. If you've wandered away from the right path of the Lord, then you have this opportunity to make things right. We're standing and singing a song. If you're subject to the gospel invitation, please come now as we stand and sing.